Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Kimber Lovett-Minkiti.
I'm Seychelle Van Poole.
And I'm Tiffany Fikes. And we are so excited to talk about money this week.
Yes.
I actually hosted a dinner where all we did was talk about money in a group of people who are not used to talking about money. And it was awesome.
I love that you're bringing groups together like that and having these like interesting conversations. You've been doing this now for a while, like around different things. And I love that one of them was money.
Yeah. So I'm all primed and ready for this conversation. The last dinner we had was about death. So
yes, that's what I was thinking about. So I was like, I know you've had other dinners.
That's why on this podcast, we talk about everything. Probably we won't have an episode on death, but
never say never.
Okay, maybe we could.
I would do it. But yeah, I would do it. But maybe not everyone's super comfortable with that topic. But yeah, I'm down. I would totally go there. There's a podcast that you guys should check out too if this is like not making you feel weird and squeamish, or maybe you should check it out even more if this does make you feel weird and squeamish of any of these topics. It's called Death, Sex, and Money with Anna Sale.
Ooh.
That's a really good one. I don't know if any of you have listened to it, but her tagline, but it's basically the things no one wants to talk about, but we need to talk about more. It's Death, Sex, and Money is the name of it. And it's a really good one. I learned about it when I was in it with my dad, but it's great because she talks about all sorts of interesting topics around it. So, and interviews really interesting people.
Yeah. My dinner party was like, are we talking about sex next time? And like one of the women just like died when her husband said that.
I love it. I think that's awesome. Well, I'm excited for us to talk about money. Yeah. She's like, and I'm out.
She will not be accepting that invite.
Hey, but it's not everyone needs to do every topic. So I love that.
That's right.
And today I'm excited to talk about money because the three of us have had wealth building as a part of our journey from very early on. It's been a focus and a thought for us. And we've all come at it from different angles and different execution plans. None of us have had the exact same game plan strategy, you know, kind of monopoly board of how we've built out our wealth plan. And so today we're going to talk about something that's really fun, which is the game of would you rather, right? It's are you going for cash flow or are you going for equity and how you're building out your wealth? So we're going to have kind of a fun debate and sharing session today around two keywords when you're building out your business and you're building out your wealth, which is cash flow or equity. And can you actually have both? We're going to find out. So as we start this, I'd love to lay some groundwork here, which is when you think about the word building equity, what does that mean to you? Like, what do you define as building equity?
So equity is, to me, when I think of it, how I would define it or explain it to somebody in layman's terms is that net worth number increasing. So, you know, if you look at assets increasing or liabilities decreasing. So you either what you own either gets more valuable or you pay off the debt that is attached to that asset. And then that makes what you have, what you own, more valuable in it. So the equity is what part of the asset you actually own and goes to the bottom of your net worth sheet. So that's like the layman's term. I'm sure there's a much better definition, but that's how I would describe it to somebody who'd never heard of the term equity before.
And it's like your stake in an asset, right? It's like the piece that's now tangible that you could cash in on. So yeah, I like that a lot, Tiffany. I think that's a great description of it.
Yeah, I think like your piece of something, right? The equity you have, whether that's equity, like the cash in, the money in that you have to a property into a business, right? That's your percentage. Like that's your part. Tiffany, I think, right, when you're thinking about your net worth statement, that equity at the bottom line, what's that percentage that is reflected for you, right, on that net worth tracker?
I love that. So how would you define cash flow if we're talking about the other side of the coin when you're building wealth? What does cash flow mean to you?
I think about the cash flow, and this is, I think, an interesting one, right? When you think about the revenue in, right? So today you have a rental property and that rent that comes in every single month. And then you're going to have expenses. And so you might have a mortgage payment. You might have expenses, taxes, insurance, right? That are going to come out against it. And at the end of that, right, your revenue minus your expenses, there's a balance. Let's hope. If it was a good investment, which we might hear some of our examples of. And that's going to represent your cash flow, the cash that you're going to have at the end of a month, right? After the revenue comes in, the expenses come out, and the balance.
Yeah, the cash you get to spend or save or reinvest from every investment is the cash flow. That one's real easy to understand. It's in the word, the flow of cash that is coming in after the expenses. I love that, Kimber.
I imagine like Scrooge McDuck swimming in a pool of money. It's like, that's cash flow to me. He's like,
yeah, it's whatever's coming down the slide.
The money's pouring into my pool. Yeah. Fountains of money flowing in.
Pouring in.
Yeah. That's what I envision. So before we dive into really getting into some examples of our journeys and examples we've seen of other friends, we wanted to take a second and really like take a step back, because all three of us approached cash flow and equity in different stages. And actually, Tiffany really helped me with this a couple of years ago when we were kind of hit a plateau and we were trying to reimagine what this looks like. So before you jump into the plan of like, I'm going to go after cash flow or I'm going to go after equity on something, it's really good to take a step back first and kind of work through a quick framework to help you decide what you want. So Tiffany, I'm going to let you jump into that setup a little bit on it, because you did a really great job with me personally when we were working through this.
Yeah. When you're approaching any investment or any like long-term plan or decision about like what's right for me or what's the right play for me, you've got to be really clear on your goals. And I think you'll hear that from each of us as we talk about both sides of this. But, you know, what is it that you want? Do you want to have a $20 million dollar like net worth sheet? Is that the goal? Do you want to be able to give $100 million to an organization when you die? Do you want to be able to be financially free and have passive income coming to you on a regular basis that you can live on? Do you want to amass enough money that you can be selling parts of things, again, creating that cash flow for yourself? And you've got to decide, you and your partner, or you, if you're single, like what are your goals? And then let your goals inform your plan, because
that's so huge right there. Let your goals inform your plan. Make a note on that one right there, big time.
Right, Tiff. Like when I look at that too, I think about short term, long term. In terms of, when I say short term, I mean your short term both goals and your expenses. Mm-hmm. So for some of us, you might have said, hey, cash flow, I have a job, I have income coming in enough. That's the income that we use to kind of live. And so then we've got this extra that we can use to make investments, and that creates equity. So I think sometimes our cash flow needs are evolving based on how much cash from those investments, from those assets, is actually funding your life. So both your long-term goals, as Tiffany's talking about, but also like understanding, which I think is where a lot of people go wrong, because they're this idea of like a budget. But you do need to know on a monthly, annual basis, how much income do you need to fund the life, like the real life that you want to have? Because that's also going to inform short-term, long-term goals in terms of how much are you going to have to invest? How much of that cash flow are you going to use to fund your life? How critical is that cash flow as opposed to extra opportunity for investments? Or is that actually the cash that you're using to pay the bills that you use to live? And that's been an interesting, you know, just intersection point for me as I think about it in this next season of my life.
Well, and that goes to the strategy. You need to understand your goal, and then you need to create your strategy based on what you decide is your best way to get to whatever the long-term or short-term goal is for you. And so as you listen to us talk about equity, options, and cash flow lessons that we've learned, you can take those into, all right, I need to create a strategy around what my long-term goals are, and then get into action to implement whatever that is. And we all know if you're not measuring it, it's not growing. And so like, how are you knowing that you're winning? So just use that framework to listen about equity and cash flow. And then your takeaway is going to be working through those steps. Do you know your goal? Is it clear? Do you know the strategies that you're going to implement? How are you getting into action? And then how are you going to measure it?
Love that. That's awesome. So let's dive into equity. Let's talk about where this has benefited us in our lives, where this has been a play for us. Like, I'd love to hear from each of you. If equity has been a part of your wealth building strategy, what that's looked like for you.
I think for us, equity really started as the goal, right? We were both came out of the nonprofit sector. So we had incomes that we knew that we could live on, right? So then it allowed, as we were jumping into the residential real estate world and generating a lot more cash, right, from the performance of that business, having a stabilized lifestyle income meant that we had additional cash to put into equity. And I say equity and investments because it meant we didn't necessarily need the cash that could come out of that investment right away, right? Because the income we needed to live was stabilized and certain every month. So then that allowed us to take a much more equity-based approach to the investments in an asset, not necessarily needing that asset to flow off a certain amount of cash, but then really to park it. And so I think it's a long-term strategy. So when you're starting out in your 20s, that might be a really, for us, that was a really powerful strategy because it meant we could invest cash into assets with an eye towards long-term equity creation, not necessarily that investment had to return for us immediately a certain amount of cash on cash return. So that was definitely a big, big part of our original strategy.
But you got your cash flow first, is what you're saying. You got your living on expenses in a cash flow situation and then got into an equity play. Did I hear you right?
Well, when I say that, I mean, think about how you're working every month, right? So if somebody's like, we were allowing the business, right, the real estate business, not just to, I think where a lot of people, and particularly in a real estate industry go wrong, is that the money just comes in and it's spent. They don't fix the income coming in by paying themselves a set amount. You separate your personal household income from the performance of the business, mm-hmm. which means when the business performs, you have additional cash to make investments. It's not flowing right into your personal account. So what we did was say the business is going to fund our personal lives at X amount, no matter what, even if the business performs exponentially well. So then when it did in those early years, it created the equity that we could invest. And then we didn't have to worry about, we need this extra thing. Or what I think happens to a lot of us is that extra cash, we then consume it. We buy a nicer car, we get a handbag, like we do the things that like lifestyle things, it funds a lifestyle, which becomes really challenging. It created the discipline to invest in equity opportunities.
Yeah, it funds a lifestyle.
Hey there, Empire Builders. We have the biggest announcement. We just heard that Brianna Wiest, the brilliant mind behind The Mountain Is You and The Pivot Year, is going to be our keynote speaker and part of the VIP experience this year at Her Best Life in sunny Miami, Florida. If you have ever read her books or heard about her, you know what an incredible experience this is going to be. We were able to negotiate a limited number of VIP tickets for a more intimate experience with Brianna, but there's only a few available. So go on over to herbestlife.com/events to secure your VIP ticket today. Hope to see you there.
The very first real estate investment that I ever did, and I really didn't know of any other way, was flipping a house, because that's an equity play. If you want to think about it, because you're increasing the value of something, you are getting the cash back, but it's equity that you're then going to reinvest again. And so flipping a house was the very first thing that we did as an equity play. Some people might call it a cash flow play because it created cash. And this is where it's like, what is your goal here? So maybe this is, as I'm like talking about it, I'm like, maybe I've always been cash flow. Like, because we had a goal of creating, like when I set out, I wanted to retire at 40. That's what I said. I knew one person who had done that. And I said, that was what I wanted to do. I didn't want to have to work again after 40. So flipping was the first way that we did it. In my mind, that was an equity play because it was trying to get a chunk of cash, not creating a stream of money coming to me often. And in doing that, what I thought was an equity play, and who knows, y'all can tell me I'm wrong in a second. But I realized like I was losing a ton of that equity to taxes and things like that by flipping it. And I was like, oh, this is not going to get me where I want to go. So I only did one deal like that. And then I just started buying them, fixing them up, and keeping them, because then that was creating the cash flow, which we'll talk about later. But an equity play wouldn't help me retire at 40 because it was a short-term goal. I was 30. So like I had 10 years to replace my income through my investing. And so the way I looked at it was equity wasn't going to get me there. So let's debate about whether though flipping a house is equity or cash flow. What do y'all think?
Okay, so here's what I will say is, I think the way in which you handle that depends, because you used it to create a larger chunk of money to invest, to create a larger chunk of money to invest. So in my mind, that is actually creating an equity play, because you're not putting it back in your bank account to fund your life. If you had said, every house I flip pays my bills, and I need to flip 10 houses a year to pay my household income, to me, that is a cash flow business. But because you were using it to build other investments, I think you were using it to build up a cash chunk of equity to be able to invest in other things. So I think it's an either or, but it's a matter of the strategy and the tactics you're using to do that. I would say it's interesting hearing your game on the rental game. Like for us, Texas has always been kind of a very steady, stable rental market, but not a really high rent market. On the properties we bought, we were making very little excess cash, but we were buying in A markets that we knew would have upside appreciation, and using the renters to not necessarily create a large cash flow for us, which would have been nice, but instead it was, we were buying in really great areas that we knew over time would appreciate, and then we were paying down the debt and letting the appreciation ride itself out. So we almost exclusively in our first 10 to 12 years of investing were equity players. You know, when we were in our 20s starting out in business and rubbing two pennies together, we were taking the small amount of excess money that we had above our living expenses to use as low down payments for investments that were going to be future investments for us. And so we didn't have the excess cash to be able to create additional cash flow in our market. We knew the market, like you invest in what you know. We knew North Texas, we knew Dallas-Fort Worth. So I knew the market well, but it was not generating large chunks of cash flow. And in all the areas that we went to try to go experiment to create that larger cash flow through the rental game, it was great cash flow for the first 9 months, and then it would turn over. They would stop paying rent because it was in a C neighborhood instead of an A or B neighborhood. And then they would skip out. You'd have to evict, or they would stop paying rent. You'd have to deal with that. They'd move out in the middle of the night, trash the place. You'd then have to go fix it up again and then go rent it out again. And I was like, this is terrible. I'm not cash flowing what I thought I was going to cash flow. And now I have an asset that's not appreciating or gaining equity either. So it's interesting, Tiffany, your experience of flipping led you to more cash flow. Our experience of cash flow actually led us to more equity early on because of our experiences in our market that weren't providing us fruitful cash flow options. And so we actually went to what we knew, which was, okay, fine, we're just going to be really patient and build equity then. And then we can choose to do what we want with that cash. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I similarly say, especially what you're first saying, like, I think, Tiffany, it was your strategy that made it that, right? Because you were taking that cash, which again, like I'm in the DC market, our houses are old. So when you flip a house, it could be a year by the time you get permits, by the time like you might have to go through one or two or three contractors, like you're not going to get in and out. In some markets you are. And I think you could then look at it more as a cash flow play, right? You're going to come in and paint, like do a couple things and then get it back out on the market. But in ours, it was like, you better be making an equity play because you were going to have to one, put in money. You might have to put in more than you planned with the goal that you were going to be able to like have a shorter term equity play. But similar to you, like our first couple of were flips as well, but we were taking that cash and running it right back into the next deal. We weren't taking it out and funding a lifestyle or an income. And that I think is critical when you're looking at the flipping game, because the market can adjust and so quickly. I often say the first one is likely going to be your payment to learn, hopefully, right? Like the first flip, you're likely going to be paying for your MBA.
Yeah, it's like your master's degree in construction.
Oh, yeah.
Completely. Our first flip, we made out with $200 profit.
Oh, gosh.
And that was a win.
We put it on the market. Literally, I know it was August 16th. I know the day our market turned because that was the day we put our house on the market and the market turned. And that was our first flip. And then the market just literally railed itself down and we were just holding on. We literally sold it with $200 profit because we had bought it right, but we got out by the skin of our teeth.
And when you think of equity also, if you think about it as like debt, like if you're a Dave Ramsey person, like that's an equity play. Like that concept of we're going to pay off our debt is an equity play. So I want you to think about that too as equity, which honestly was my whole strategy, which helps cash flow. Ultimately, if your financial freedom is what you're looking for, like less payments on things helps with that. But, you know, looking at what are the things that I can do that are going to increase the capital I have available to me, whether it's flipping, whether it's a business ownership that I could go to a bank and get a loan based on that ownership. That's an equity play that can create more opportunity for you to make more money in equity. Like, I feel like equity play, most people, that's what they decide is most important to them, which is interesting because we very much didn't. And we were very much like, come on, somebody teach us how to do this, because all the education was on the equity play of things. And I wanted to do the cash flow. But, you know, I'm not going to have a huge asset that the bank is going to loan for more equity to get more cash flow. And so, like, learning how to balance that was one of the things, too.
I love that you were doing that, because you're right. I mean, I think when all of us started investing in this, like Rich Dad, Poor Dad was kind of a new book out. It was not like there were all these seminars and TikTok and Instagram stories and webinars and conferences around wealth building. We all were kind of fumbling through this, trying to figure it out. So the fact that you were able to get so crystal clear on your strategy so early with cash flow being your name of your game, I think is really amazing.
I would love Tiffany to know like how you thought about it, because you're talking about it as cash flow, but it is cash flowing assets. Is it because you were putting it in cash and so you weren't paying debt? Like, you were investing in a asset that was appreciating. So today, right, like how did you think about that? Because it was like cash flow and equity. Because today you now own properties that some I think you own outright. So it was then creating, the byproduct was an amazing equity play as well. Like when you think about, were you making different decisions about cash going in terms of like how you were having that capital return to you?
Yeah. So, I mean, when we were first starting out and building and building and building, it was an 8% cash on cash return. Equity was not a part of our equation in deciding to put our cash into something. So if we could get 8% cash on cash return, we wanted to keep as much capital as we could. I mean, also, I'm a chicken, ladies. Remember this. Like, we paid cash for our first two deals. They were not expensive. We did a $70,000 house and a $120,000 house. But we paid cash because I had, no one in my family had ever owned rental property. And Seychelles' scary stories were the only thing that I had ever heard. And so, like, I wanted to sleep at night. But we got a 8% cash on cash return, putting cash into it. And we passed on deals that today I would have bought five times over, knowing what I know now. But we did a hard and fast 8% cash on cash return. The rest of the numbers didn't matter to me. That's all we looked at in identifying our investments.
I love that. And what I love about it too is you made a decision on what allowed you to sleep at night to get comfortable with the idea of investing. I think so often we see people go so hard and fast without clarity of what allows them to do business. They get upside down. And then the market turns and they lose their shirts. I mean, how many, we both, all three of us have been in business a long time. How many of our friends have filed for bankruptcy or had massive amounts of foreclosures and short sales because they didn't operate their business so they could sleep at night and maintain cash reserves? And I think about that for us, like we were at, can we have 200 a month in profit per property over the rental amount? And how little can we put in to start? Because we didn't have a ton of cash and we were also getting in the business to support my family. So it was like, I want to build up our cash reserves so I can sleep at night. I do want to be investing, but this is the minimum cash over rent that I'm allowing to get back. And I'm so glad that we build up strong cash reserves, because like in Texas, we had 3 days, we had 80 mile an hour winds, we had hailstorms, we had flash floods, and then we had hail. And it was like all seven of our properties, like we had to look at like, are we going to have to pay for new roofs for all seven of these properties at once? You need cash reserves to do that. So I think operating your business so you can sleep at night starting out allows you to gain confidence in your business acumen and in your investing acumen to then start building to your point now where you're like, I never would have passed on those properties. But it allowed you to build the confidence then to get to the point where you are now.
What I think that circles us right back to where we started, which is what are your goals? Like in terms of both goal and your risk tolerance, especially as you're getting started. Like I love, Tiffany, that you said it was an 8% cash on cash return. So when you're thinking about like you were looking at the deal for, does the math work for that? And the other things were secondary, right? Say you talk about like location, you learned and then you were like, whoa, we got to make sure we're maintaining cash. So I think when you're thinking about this and you're like wrapping up and you're like, what am I trying to take away? What's your goal? And how does that align to like the strategy you need to execute so that you are comfortable with the level that you're investing, especially if you're like, hey, I'm just getting started. Like that's a way to really make sure you go in that first, second investment And then you're getting the lesson and you're starting to figure out how you can adjust that strategy. A lot of times that first investment or the second is going to inform any adjustments you need to make to your strategy, which is, I think, why this conversation is such an important one. So goal and strategy, and then being able to execute that plan are so critical.
Can I share one more story before we wrap today too? Because I think this is kind of a cool full circle moment. So my dad's now passed away, but we'll just say my parents for a minute, have entered into a different phase of life where we are now in asset protection mode and cash flow is important in funding their life versus needing to build up equity and assets. And I just want to share with you that like we, a year and a half ago, totally changed their investing strategy from being a, we're building equity and we've got rentals and we're doing all these things to now we're moving to, I want a guaranteed minimum return to fund my perfect life. I want cash flow to fund the perfect life. We're creating a budget to fund the perfect life. And these assets that we have built up in equity and all these plays over time to get to this point, now when you're not needing your business to fund your perfect life, you can use the equity and the assets to make different investments like in stocks and bonds and in different sorts of things that will guarantee you a minimum rate of return to fund your perfect life. I want to make sure I bring that up because some of our listeners are in different phases. And it's been really amazing of a gift that we have focused as a family for now a while on building up net worth and equity that then we were able to cash out and sell some of those assets, turn them into cash flow assets by strategically investing them in things that are more risk averse than we would be if we were on aggressive build mode, so that they're more market insulated and they're spitting off the cash to fund the perfect life. And so no matter where you are in your journey, I encourage you to do what Kimber and Tiffany are saying, which is make sure you're assessing, is the strategy matching what I'm needing to accomplish with my goals and my plan around that? Because at different life stages, you're going to hit different goals and phases where you need to go back in and reassess and make sure that you are looking at that to accomplish what you want. So I love this conversation today, you all, because it's super helpful.
Yeah. And ultimately, like, your goal is your goal. And
yes,
even if you're walking around with a goal different than everybody else, which I seem to find in my life pretty consistently.
I love it about you.
That, like, it's your goal. And so just make sure you're executing your strategy for your goal, whether it's equity where you're building up your stake in things, or whether it's cash flow where you have assets that are shooting down the slide into your money pool that you're swimming in.
Amen.
Just make sure that it's attached to your goal and don't look around. I posted something on social media the other day about like looking around at what other people are doing is what steals your joy. And so like, don't do that. Create a plan that makes sense for you. Execute it, whether it's cash flow, equity, go hard after it and live the life that you want to live. Because it doesn't matter if you're on team cash flow or team equity, if it doesn't get you what you want out of life. So make sure that your strategy is supporting your goal. Make sure that you're tracking it and that you have a great investing plan to get you where you want to go.
I love it. And go out there and build that big business, but most importantly, that even bigger life. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Have a great week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.